It's a really humbling experience. I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, the reality of being a homeless individual is really far away for everyone. And I mean, it happens to everybody, or it
It
can
can
happen.
happen to anybody.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of people that have never had any real experience picture that it's a certain type of person or it's a certain class of people, and it's not.
So, hi, I'm here with Matt and Aaron. I've invited Matt and Aaron here to talk a little bit about their experience. You guys know something about being homeless, or I'll let you guys introduce yourselves.
I'm Aaron. I was homeless for like 2 years in Philly, probably like 6, 7 years ago. Yeah, it was an experience. I'm very happy to be where I am now.
Sure.
And I'm Matt. And I met Aaron about halfway through his time being homeless, right when I was finding myself without a place to live, also in Philadelphia. And we spent like our first 9 months knowing each other and then like becoming boyfriends, sort of couch surfing and house sitting for friends of ours at a couple different places for like the better part of that year. And that, like, so my homeless experience is slightly less time and not as specifically on the streets as what I know that Aaron experienced before we got together.
Aaron, how much of meeting Matt alleviated some of the struggle?
In the short term, I mean, being homeless with someone else is always better than like being in that situation by yourself because it's nice to have someone to rely upon, whether it be for safety or for like just general companionship. But like in the long term, it was definitely more beneficial. Like we were very fortunate that upon getting sober and all the other elements that went into our recovery, like his parents allowed us to stay with them for a little while to get back on our feet. So like that was definitely good.
So I heard you mention recovery. I also went through some recovery. So how did the addiction, was that the thing that caused the homelessness? I mean, I remember seeing that happen to lots of people and along my way.
Yeah, I mean mine was like coupled with it was like addiction and a bad relationship and then like, you know, really kind of a handful of other things that like I mean I had lost my job and you know, it all kind of goes hand in hand, but at a certain point you kind of hit a point where it doesn't really matter what you do. It's really hard to get out of the hole. I know like we were discussing something about one of the programs the other day and the inability. Oh, somebody with a pet. We saw this guy with a dog, and he was very clearly like unhoused at the time. And I was like, what's so hard about that is, if you're by yourself and you have a pet, and you don't have a home, well, how do you go to work to get yourself out of that situation, right? Like you can't just leave the dog somewhere and like go to work. And if you don't have somebody else that can watch the dog while you're at work, then you can't get a job, and then you can't make money, and then you can't get yourself out of that situation. And it's just kind of a snowball.
Sure. And if you're homeless and you don't have a pet, suddenly have a pet, all of a sudden that is your home,
Right, that's all
right?
you have, and you're not really willing to compromise. I mean, and it's hard enough when you don't have another like living thing relying on you to try and get yourself out once you're at a certain point, because there's everything compounds once you sink below a certain level. Because you know, you can get a job, sure, but if you can't get reliable transportation to get to it, you're just going to lose it. Or if you can't get a reliable shower, they're going to like start to think you don't, you know, meet their standards, and then ultimately you're just losing that job, which was another opportunity, and only so many of them come around.
So, how did you survive in that time period? I mean, where did you get a shower? Were you able to find, I don't know.
For me, as sort of messed up as it almost sounds, I was fortunate to meet Aaron when I did, as I was slowly finding myself with less resources. I also, my mine was very, very much because of my preference to maintain drug use. So I had like either quit or lost like a job or two. And then like I had a car, but then I couldn't make payments on it. So even as I didn't have a place to live, like I had that for a minute. And then right when I like was about to not have the car anymore was when I crossed paths with Aaron through a whole bunch of like different circumstances of like knowing people through people. But because of that, then I laugh about it a little bit now, but like a little bit selfishly, like wanted to kind of stick with this guy because he had knowledge and experience about places to go for like food or the one place in Philly, Broad Street Ministries. They do meals. They do like little kits for like toiletries. They give people like a mailing address, which is like really major if you're really trying to get back on your feet. Mm-hmm. And he shared some of that with me, like even right as we were just starting to hang out. And I immediately, having literally so little street knowledge at all, like just like as just a general person in the world, knew that I needed to stick with this person who seemed like incredibly resourceful and knew where a lot of this stuff could be, or like what places we could or couldn't go at different times to be like safe or warm. Cause I think it was like the end of winter when we met. So like sometimes it's like we couldn't just keep walking around the city playing games on our phone. Like we needed to like chill somewhere for a while. Mm-hmm. So I relied on his knowledge at the time that I met him, though I know a lot of that for him was hard earned prior to my showing up on the scene.
It definitely takes an adjustment. Mm-hmm. I mean, like my situation obviously too, like I was an active addiction, but like a lot of the time, at least to shower, like I would just hook up with guys so that I had a place to go shower. And yeah. Like, I mean, as far as food and stuff, I was really fortunate that the clinic I was going to had a food bank and had things like that that they got me signed up for right away. Mm-hmm. So that even though I didn't have anywhere to go, like I still had like Rice Krispies. Like because the other thing is like, a lot of the food banks in Philly don't acknowledge that the people that are coming to them are unhoused. So like they give you canned goods, but no can opener, or like frozen meats. And like, I finally like said to the guy the one day, I'm like, I'm not going to take any of this cause I can't eat any of it. Cause I don't have anywhere to cook any of it. Mm-hmm. And then, he started like putting aside like jars of peanut butter so that I would just have something that I could carry. I mean, I still eat peanut butter by the jar, but like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was, you have to kind of build that relationship with someone from some resource that can understand your situation. Mm-hmm. And like, it's really tough because I know like community wide everywhere, it's such a growing concern that individual relationship is really hard for people to make so that people can understand everybody's individual situations. Mm.
And I don't know, I would imagine that relationships could be pretty, I don't know, transitional. You didn't have them for very long. So yeah. You don't have this sort of trust or comfort and
you're always kind of hedging your bets on how long something's going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being homeless. It's a lot of work just to eat,
just to be alive. That's the one thing I say, like looking back on it, like I hated every minute of it, but like it was so much work just to stay alive. And I don't think people realize how much goes into every day until you have to actually look for all of it. And
sure,
you know, that's the real challenge. Cause I was also in Philadelphia, which like I know the people in Lancaster also suffer from this, but almost all of the resources are spread so far apart.
Sure.
That not only do you not have a lot of food, but you have to walk 2 miles to get to the food that's available. And like, that's exhausting.
Yeah. I know the shelter that we opened here
for
people who are used to being downtown, that extra like 5 blocks they got to walk out of their way,
right,
can be a lot.
And I mean, the facility here is great, so obviously they'll probably want to come here. But if their most like frequent resources for food or for money or whatever are downtown, that means they also have to walk down there every day, and that's just a huge expenditure of energy
and like time.
And I mean, it's inconsistent to based on the weather, or you know, whether or not you get down there and there's nobody out that's willing to help you that day, just to walk back like empty handed. I mean, it's a challenge every day to just hope that it's going to be better or be different.
Mm-hmm. You guys are not homeless now.
No, luckily, and through a couple different sources of like graciousness, we find ourselves not dealing with that anymore and haven't dealt with it for like 5 to 5.5 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Coming up on 6.
Coming up on 6, yeah.
So, I mean, I know personally from suffering from addiction and that really isolates you. I mean, I know one thing that really isolates you to being in homelessness is not having any support outside of you or just people that can maybe just make sure that you had a can opener or let you use their...
Right.
I can remember an active addiction. I met lots of people I kind of wished I never met out of desperation for needing to be somewhere at some time.
Yep.
So what was the first grace that you can think of that that started leading you out of that situation, I guess?
First grace was actually someone in our lives who was a calm but persistent influence, but was a man that we would see while we were out playing Pokemon Go in Philly, and he was also playing the game, and he knew Aaron before like I met them, but like just about every time we'd see him, he would just ask us if we'd want to come to one of the Crystal Meth Anonymous meetings or, you know, just some sort of meeting. Cause he knew a little bit of what was going on with Aaron, but I mean, just looking at both of us, you could kind of tell we were in active addiction as well. Mm-hmm. But he just persistently over the course of that first year we were together, would just always as a casual reminder, be like, hey, like if you guys ever want to like come to a meeting, like, you know, we'd love to see you there. And I think it was right around, I guess it was Christmas time of that year, when the little bit of resources that we had with people like letting us like live with them for a while or like earn our keep staying with them like had fallen through. We really didn't have anywhere to go, and it was cold and we were like hungry, so we went to like one of the emergency medical places that they like can put people into recovery places, like actual rehabs. But like we immediately reached out to this man as a resource. I can say his name. His name is Chip. Sure. Yeah. I mean, Chip, like really just persistently was like always there, so that when we did reach out then, after I did a month in rehab, like we reached out to him and he kind of assisted in getting us to some meetings, getting another person in recovery to like let us like crash at his place for a night or two.
So you're still homeless at this point.
Yeah, right? Still homeless. Yeah.
That's quite a challenge getting through rehab and then not having anywhere to be.
Right. Yeah. And like it's crazy because like I got out of rehab and luckily Aaron had like one of his best friends that he stayed with for that month. So I at least knew while I was in rehab that Aaron like was in a safe place, because honestly my first week at rehab, like all I did was worry about what was going on with him.
Sure.
Safe adjacent.
Yeah, safe adjacent. Safer than being fully on the street. But yeah, then we got out, and I think it was maybe a week and a half where I was in like a recovery house. But then it wasn't a very good one at all. So that fell through very quickly as well. So then we reached out to Chip, who gave us a couple days to stay with some people who then like helped us get on a train to come out here to Lancaster where I'm from and where my family lives.
Yeah. I mean, and once we got out here, we were only supposed to be out here for a couple days, and it was a little bit of an eye-opening experience for everyone involved, like Matt's parents and us, in that they kind of had to learn that like addiction recovery doesn't just look like, oh, you get out of rehab and everything's great. Like, you know, I think because they were like, well, you guys just need to go find somewhere to live, and like we would sit there in their living room and call all these like halfway houses and they'd be full, and they'd be like, well, then just go back to rehab, but like rehab won't take you unless you're actively using. So like the fact that we were sober and had nowhere to live there weren't a lot of resources for like places to go, and I don't think that's an idea that people outside of that situation realize. Like, they're like, oh, well, you get sober and then you get your life together and then everything's perfect. And it's like, no, you get sober and then you have still no resources and nowhere to go, and that's why so many people slip back into what they were doing, because at least then they know who to call to go hang out when it's 30 degrees outside. And like, over the course of what ended up being like a long week, his parents kind of acknowledged that it wasn't that simple, and then were like incredibly gracious and allowed us to stay there, which, I mean, in one way or another, we ended up living there for 4 years.
Yeah, I think it was 4 years.
And we slowly started paying rent, and then more and more responsibility, and then more and more rent. And I mean, we wouldn't be where we are right now without that opportunity.
Yeah.
But at no point do I think anybody on that initial weekend thought that was what it was going to turn into. It was, I think, them really having to see how desperately we just wanted to get away from the world we were living in, but how little opportunity there was for us to do that didn't like cost something. And in those situations, you just don't have anything to offer. Yeah. I mean, the reality, because even when we were like still in active addiction and homeless, and I mean, granted, our situation was different because we were traveling as a pair and, you know, whatever, but it's such a vulnerable time for anybody that there are a lot of people who will also take advantage of the situation and be like, no, come stay with me. And, you know, you'll just do some odd jobs and you'll just do this. And then they wildly abuse that situation because they know you have nowhere else to go.
Sure.
Until, you know, you finally leave because whatever, because they just hold over the fact that they could kick you out at any time.
Yeah.
You know, and that
it's a sort of form of slavery
element. Right. It's very dehumanizing because you're like, I know that this is wrong, but if I choose not to do it this way,
what else
do I have? Right. Like, they're the only thing that's keeping me fed and housed in, at times, winter. You know, and you end up doing a lot of things you really wish you hadn't done.
Yeah, a lot of
they're able to hold that over top of you.
A lot of your autonomy is really what you like are trading in those situations with people who like want to say that they're acting out of like kindness or some form of like helpful behavior, but like it usually doesn't take too long till you realize like, oh, you're not actually giving me a like a safe, warm place to live. You're actually like expecting a lot more than like, because the one place we stayed for like 4 or 5 months that year, like it was presented to us like we would do some odd jobs for them and like help them like repaint their one house, which you know, we had a little bit of skill in, but we're like, yeah, we can do that for room and board, like that's easily, like that seemed like an easy yes. And then, like, it just became that we never really had as much consistent time to work on the house painting, even if the weather was fine, even if we otherwise had nothing, like, there was nothing else going on. And, like, the house we were painting for them was, like, outside the city, but they also had a place in Philly that we would spend, like, more and more time in the city house.
Yeah.
And then when we're in the city house and we would say like, okay, well, we're going to go out and like look for work so that we could hopefully get a job and be able to move out on our own at some point, there would always be things that the people we were staying with would impose upon us.
Like the day of the interview.
Or right.
Like in lieu of you starting your job, they would need you to do something. I mean, it was,
you know, it was just always something. And it just became this like very obvious, lopsided give or take kind of situation where it's like we had to do whatever they asked basically because we had nothing else.
So having the loving connection to somebody who's able to help support you is
incredible.
Vital.
Mm-hmm. Like easily the one thing in our entire mix of this whole experience that changed the trajectory for us. Like truly, because there wasn't, like when we lived with my parents, there was no immediate obligation or overwhelming control to any of the nature of the interaction we had with them. I mean, nothing besides like do the dishes or take out the trash, like normal household chores that they would ask anyone. Very it wasn't reasonable. it wasn't any like big ask that then inhibited our ability to go and get hired and get a job. And I mean, we did that 3 times while we lived with them, like each time getting slightly better occupations that then allowed us to be able to pay them rent. That was a little bit more equitable for the space they provided for us. We had our own space in the house. Like,
I mean, it allowed us to like put money in the bank. We bought a car.
Yep.
Like, we live on our own now.
Yeah. You guys have been in your new place for how long?
A little over a year now. Yeah. It was a year at Thanksgiving, so I guess it's a year and
a year and a couple months now. Yeah.
And I understand you have a new housemate there also.
Oh yeah. We have a dog that is wild.
We had 2 dogs already, but then we just got a puppy right before Thanksgiving who is already bigger than our second oldest dog. So, yeah.
The temperament of a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And bigger than a 2-year-old.
And yes. Way bigger than a 2-year-old. Way bigger than a
2-year-old and has the ability to just jump on top of you.
So, I know that a couple weeks ago, I ran into you guys here at the shelter, and what were you doing there?
Yeah, we came in to volunteer. We were here that night. We were helping hand out like toiletries and towels and sheets and stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing it again soon.
Was that, I don't know, an uncomfortable situation for you?
No, it was great. I forget his name now. The gentleman that we were here with.
Oh, yeah.
He was so accommodating. I mean, and the facility is phenomenal.
John?
I think it might have been John, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the people are so nice. I mean, it was actually way easier than I was anticipating.
We were both a bit nervous going into it just because it was a new situation. We hadn't actually been here at all. And there wasn't a whole lot of, like, information after we volunteered for it that they sent and said, like, hey, be prepared for this. Other than just, like, you know, you'll just greet people and hand stuff out, which... Mm-hmm. Turned out that's really all that we were like asked to do. But because we were both there volunteering, that kind of allowed the staff to actually be able to interact with everyone who was like coming in and like help them with a little bit more of the like specified things that they needed as they were getting settled for the night. But I mean, honestly, it was an easy experience. It was honestly kind of pleasant to be able to be like immediately helpful to people because even though we just got run through like where the supplies were like right before people started coming in, that was more than enough. So then when anyone asked us for a towel or soap or to speak to one of the actual members of staff, like it was literally no challenge to be able to like, oh yeah, here, let me grab that for you. And that was honestly relieving at first because I had been nervous about it. Mm-hmm. But then like, I don't know, overall just a really good experience. Cause then by the time that we were done, it didn't feel like the time had passed. Like, it seemed like it all went so quick, and then, you know, it was easy.
I mean, I had a handful of shelter experience as a user. And I mean, like, I wasn't hesitant, because honestly, we still send money. Broad Street in Philadelphia was my biggest resource when I was there, and they were only an emergency shelter, but, like, they had meals, they had mailboxes, whatever, so, I mean... Once we got back on our feet, that was the one thing I really wanted to do was just kind of like as our tithing, like be donating to them because they provide a service, but it's nice to have something closer. You know, I mean, and as far as the shelters I was in, they were always much more emergency shelter based, and they were obviously in Philadelphia, so they were much more crowded and old. A lot of them were very unpleasant, but I mean, the experience here was...
Unpleasant. The shelter itself was
unpleasant. I mean, well, and you know, I mean, some of the people. If you've spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, but it was just. I mean, the facilities generally were overtaxed and underserving. Not because the people were trying to be underserving, but because of just the sheer need. Mm-hmm. And you know, so I was a little hesitant coming here the first night, and having been here now, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's great. And I mean, it flew by.
Yeah, because we came in right before, was it 7 when people started coming in?
Yeah, probably. We were here until like 10:30.
And we were here until like 10:30, but it didn't feel like it was that long.
Super easy. You can tell they really appreciate it. Not that matters, but
I don't think he even had to be here till past 10 o'clock.
We helped while everybody was getting checked in. We made sure everybody had everything. And then once it was like just about lights out, like.
One of the best parts of the night, honestly, for me was the guy who was directing us, like, let me know that one of the gentlemen who came in needed a little bit of help with something, but that he was deaf. So he had like a whiteboard that, mm-hmm. you know, we could communicate with.
Yeah.
But I was able to volunteer my lovely husband here because Aaron knows sign language.
I know. I saw some of that
happen. So then that kind of made it a little easier because Aaron was able to go and like actually like talk to the guy a little quicker than having to write stuff out on a whiteboard. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he appreciated that.
Yeah. People just want to be seen.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they want like resources and all that other stuff, but a lot of people in those situations, you get really used to no one looking at you. They just kind of look through you. So having people that,
and the staff that we saw working here that night, you could tell like they knew all the people coming in and like mm-hmm. appreciated being able to be there and work with them. Like they're having like conversations that they were obviously continuing from the previous day. Mm-hmm. They were like interacting with people on a very like familiar way. That's mm-hmm. another thing that I think you don't see very often in a lot of like resource shelter kind of places, because like Aaron said, it's usually just so many people that need stuff that you don't always get like that personal interaction.
I know that night was the only night that I got to volunteer there, and I've been like daydreaming about getting to do it again.
I know we were just talking. We kind of have been too. Yeah,
I know we were just talking about how busy we are, but
yeah, I mean,
it doesn't seem like if I actually had that time, I wouldn't feel stressed that I was doing that work.
No, yeah. I mean, and I don't think it really feels like the requirement is that you're there all the time either. Like I feel like when you're there, they're just happy to have you. Mm-hmm. You know, extra hands are always good hands.
Yeah. Hear that out there, listeners. There will be a link to how you can do that or volunteer. Because I know I was looking at the list the other day and there was nobody signed up.
Oh, yikes.
Mm-hmm.
We highly recommend it. It is, on a selfish level, like rewarding and fulfilling to be able to help people. But then just in general, I mean, it was so easy. Uh-huh. Of a volunteer experience that I really think that just about anyone could be able to do it and feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah, and a very low pressure commitment. Like it's 3 hours.
Well, I know while I was waiting for them to open the doors, I mean, I had a great conversation with a gentleman in the line and who had been on the street only for a week. And I mean, he didn't know at all what to do. You know, he was there and he was just happy he was there. And
yeah.
It's a really humbling experience. I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, the reality of being a homeless individual is really far away for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it happens to everybody. Or it can happen
to everybody, yeah.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of people that have never had any real experience picture that it's a certain type of person or it's a certain class of people, and it's not. It's everybody. There are a lot of people that are like just senior citizens that didn't have anyone that took care of them as they aged and mm-hmm. are unable to afford housing of their own. I mean, it's people who have just happened to miss a couple jobs, couple paychecks, and now they're on their own and don't know what to do. You know, there are people that have gotten really good at it, and then there are people that are like really suffering through it. And mm-hmm. it's just really humbling to see all of them together.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say to the listeners about, maybe it's about volunteering. Maybe it's about...
I mean, I would, again, absolutely recommend the volunteering or donating, because I know specifically mm-hmm. the shelter here is always in need of the resources. And they try to be, I guess, ecumenical with how they distribute things, mm-hmm. but they also try to be very open-handed so that everyone coming here is able mm-hmm. to really get whatever they can as long as the resources last.
What resources do you think
what was the stuff essential?
I mean, they definitely still were in need of like soap and shampoo. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know YMCA, who's running that, their soap that they run over there at the fitness facility is not good for your skin. And that's the worst thing for.
Yeah. I remember there were a couple people as they came in where we were just kind of told that they needed soap, especially if you like soap that just doesn't have any allergens in it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't really know like who's going to get to use the soap. So, I mean, like allergen-free stuff, clothes, like any type of clothes resources. I know they had like a closet of stuff that if people really needed something, they were able to go and like look through and grab what they needed.
Socks are always good.
Socks are always good.
Once your socks are wet, your whole day is ruined.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's winter, obviously the people can like double up on socks to keep warm. But even in the summer, like if you're outside all day, you're going to be sweating through them. Socks are just such a valuable resource.
Toothbrushes, yes. Deodorant.
Deodorant, yep, because they...
Maybe a note or a drawing pad.
Chapstick was one. Yeah.
Lotion, that was one that I think a couple people asked for. I think with the night we were there, lotion and shampoo specifically, they happened to be like running low that night. But I know that was one of the ones that I feel like most people came up and asked if we had some.
Hypoallergenic.
Yes, again, like a hypoallergenic,
non-scented, doesn't have
fragrance to, free. I know I myself, and I think a little bit, Aaron, like both of us have to use like fragrance free like soaps or stuff because it just can be such an irritant. And like last thing you need, like when you're out all day, is just for your skin to itch. But like your only way to get clean was with the soap they gave you. So yeah like hypoallergenic, allergen free soaps and lotions would like are just such like a nice thing to easily provide comfort to someone who like is otherwise in need.
Or like a smile, to be honest, out in the world. Like, and I mean, a lot of people look through or look past or whatever, but you see someone that's going through it, don't scowl or side eye them, just smile. I mean, if you can't offer anything else, compassion is free.
Well, Matt, Aaron, thanks for coming and talking to us. We've been talking a lot about homelessness and the shelter that's come in here, and it's good to hear somebody who's had a story, I don't know, and has some insight into it. And hopefully sometime maybe we'll get to interview some of the individuals who come in. I don't know.
Yeah,
I hope that we'll do some volunteering together out there.
Oh yeah, I would love that again.
Yeah
we're happy to have been able to come in and share,
for sure.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
We're glad you tuned in today. We look forward to chatting again in the next episode of Hey, Hey, Anybody Listening? Anybody care?